affects the way we do marriage. It affects the way we do parenting. It affects the way we work. It affects the way we relate to each other. We don't have a clear vision of what it means to be a man of God.
This is Straight Talk.
Welcome to Straight Talk Radio. Thank you for tuning in for another edition with Senior Pastor Mark Jobe, author and lead pastor at New Life Community Church here in Chicago. My name is Joshua Hollick, and today I'm here with Pastor Mark. And Jesus said, you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. And he's called us to be the difference makers in the places he's put us. Pastor Mark, some people are listening today and they're saying, you know, I don't think I'm really part of the solution. I don't think I really matter at all. What do you say to somebody like that?
Well, what I want to say is that a little salt will change the entire flavor of a meal. And a little light changes the whole dynamics of a dark room. Jesus has called us to be change agents, but we cannot be change agents unless, first of all, Jesus changes us. A lot of us, Joshua, don't understand the significance of our place. We don't understand the uniqueness of our position. And neither do we understand the influence of our presence. There are people right now listening to this radio program that God has put you at the job where you're at, and you're moaning and complaining about it, but God has put you there for such a time as this. Some of you are in a high school or a college, and maybe you're not quite unhappy because it's a dark environment, but little do you know that you're the only person that can reach that tribe that God has placed you in. And so I want people to start opening up their eyes and asking themselves, God, why have you put me here? For what purpose? And Lord, let me be an agent of change.
Thank you, Pastor Mark. We hope that you've been enjoying our Straight Talk live recordings from a series of Bible studies that Pastor Mark did on Tuesday nights with men just a few years ago. Today, we find ourselves in a message called God's Foundation for Man and Woman. Our text will be found in the book of Genesis, chapter 2. Here's Pastor Mark with this edition of Straight Talk.
I want you to take your Bibles and go to Genesis, chapter 2. Genesis is the book of beginning. It's part of the Pentateuch. You know, the five books written by Moses. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And if we really need to understand the nature of man, and we really want to understand how God has called us to function, then we really need to go right to the beginning and understand really how God made us and understand God's vision for men, for marriage, for family, for leadership. We go right there. And here's the thing that I've been wrestling with, and I've been pastoring for 21 years now. And I believe that part of the problem, much of the problem that revolves around family and family issues in marriage, oftentimes, I think, has to do with the fact that oftentimes as men, we really don't have a real clear picture of what it means to be a man of God, or we don't have a clear vision of what it means to be a man of God. And so that affects the way we do marriage. It affects the way we do parenting. It affects the way we work. It affects the way we relate to each other. And I believe that God wants to clarify a bit of vision of what it means to be a man of God, not as the world has defined what it means to be a man, but as God defines manhood. And you really can't understand that well until you go way back to the beginning and you go to Genesis. And I think it's best illustrated probably in Genesis chapter 2, because he creates Adam. And again, Adam is created in the image of God. We reflect God, not just the way that we look, but the way that we're wired, our spirit, our sense of free will, our sense of choice. We are sons of God, and so therefore we reflect the character of God. We reflect the character of God the Father. He's created us in his image. There is nothing in all creation that can say, I'm made in the image of God. The angels are not in the image of God. The giraffe is definitely not in the image of God. Neither is the hippopotamus. We are created. We, as men, are created in the image of God. We're wired the way God is wired because he's created us in his very image. And so there's a lot of things inside of you, intuitively, that you just go to the right places and do the right things because you're made in the image of God. Now, the fall messed all that up, and we got off track, and sinful nature came in, and so there's a lot of perversion and deviousness inside of us, but we were made in the image of God. And so he goes on to say, and I'm kind of giving you the big picture here. Now, it says in verse 19 of Genesis chapter 2, "Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the beasts of the field and all the birds of the air. He brought them to man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So man gave names to all the livestock, the birds of the air, all the beasts of the field. There's Adam. Hey, you look like a hippo. You look like a giraffe." Of course, I don't know what language he was speaking in, but, you know, he was imagined thinking up all these, the first thing that comes to your mind. All right, you're named this and you're named that and you're called this. God was already having him exercise creativity, dominion, and order upon his creation. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused man to fall asleep, into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of man's ribs and he closed up the place with flesh. So God looks at man, and he's created in his image, and he knows that there can be other men and there could be brotherhood. But God sees that something is missing. He sees that man has been created, but that there is something not quite finished, not quite complete, not quite good. That he's created man, and it's a good thing, and he creates all the animals, and he puts them in this idyllic situation, in this paradise situation, but it's not quite right yet. I mean, it's kind of messed up still. And God understands. He's an all-knowing, divine God, so he understands something is missing in this picture because man seems like he's not complete, the kind of completeness that I'm calling him to. So he says that God caused man to fall into a deep sleep, and while he was sleeping, he took one of man's ribs and he closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from that rib that he had taken out of man, and he brought her to the man. You say, well, how could God create a woman out of a rib? Well, just like he created man out of dust. God is God. He can do whatever. Now, the significance that he took a rib out is there's a connection there. There's a connection there between man and woman. And he creates a woman, and he brought her to man. Now, this is the first time the man realized he was a man. Up until that time, he was just a creation. Imagine, you've been in the world, you've never seen a woman. Can't really understand your manhood until you're exposed to a woman. And then suddenly, there's a sense of manhood when a man understands the difference between a woman and a man. Suddenly, his manhood starts to be defined, because manhood is best defined in the context of a woman as well, understanding the differences. And Adam, for the first time, here he is. He's kind of a naive guy, just created. You know, I think about it. I don't know how old he was, but he was made as a man. But hey, he could have been only weeks old or months old. And suddenly, there before him, Adam's naked, Eve's naked, and there she is. For the first time in his life, he's seeing a woman. And Adam looks at this woman. And he basically, we see the expression in, if you see the expression really in the Hebrew, it says something like, wow, awesome. You know, it's that kind of expression that he gives. He's never seen anything like this. I mean, he is overwhelmed by the sight that he has. And man said, whoa, now this is bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. There's a unity there. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. And then he goes in and he begins to describe. Then God says this. This is what man says. Man just kind of goes into this poetic, the first time he ever like says anything poetic. You know, he says, she's flesh of my flesh and bone of my bones, and she shall be called woman. Suddenly, there's something awakened within man at the appearance of a woman. He begins to discover his manhood in the contrast with a woman for the very first time. And then God begins to lay out for the very first time, now that there's a woman in the picture, he begins to lay out, the world just got a lot more complicated when Eve was born, made. Life would never be the same. And he would have a hard time living with her, he would have a hard time living without her. It'd be a new world here, a new scenario was just developed, engineered here. And then God begins to define just the parameters of what marriage would be like and what it would mean for a man to be with a woman. And he says, for this reason, I just did a wedding on Saturday and I quoted this verse. It's one of my favorite verses to talk about when we go down to talk about marriage, because I think this is basically the basis of marriage. And now he begins to define the relationship that man should have with a woman and how this thing should work. He says, hey, for this reason, a man will leave his father and his mother and be united to his wife. So he starts out by saying, hey, guys, first of all, what you need to know is that there needs to be an independence from your family. You are separating from your family, creating your own family. That's why a man shall leave his father and mother. And he begins to define marriage. And I think there's a lot of confusion. We haven't been taught about marriage. We don't really know what a marriage looks like. And we have a lot of young guys running around and they want the benefits of marriage without the responsibility of marriage. So we do it all backwards. We go out, we have sex, we have kids. Then we start thinking about, wow, should I marry her or not? And that's pretty much how it functions in society. And God is reversing it and saying, no, if this is going to work right, here's the way it should function. First of all, leave your mother and father. In other words, grow up. If you're still living at your mom's house and she's tucking you in with a Barney blanket, listen, you are not ready for marriage. You know, we have guys that, young guys that they're talking about marriage, but you know, they've never held a job, never paid their bills, never, they're just getting their driver's license. They haven't had a steady job. Their mom cooks for them. They're still a little mama's boy in a way because they've never got out on their own. They've never lived on their own. And God is basically saying, hey, if you're going to get married, then first of all, you need to leave your mother and father. You need to grow up a little bit. You need to get a job. You need to be able to get out on your own. You need to pay your bills. You need to survive without depending on mama and papa. You need to survive outside of them. That's why when couples come to me and say, hey, you know, we're getting married, but my mom and dad really want to help us out. What we're going to do is we're going to live in their house for the first year, save some money. I say, no way, don't. No, it's a real nice setup. No, it's not. It's a terrible setup. You need to separate. You don't live with mom and pop with your wife there.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled God's Foundation for Man and Woman. It's from our series called Straight Talk for Men. Stay tuned to learn how you can get a free copy of this message as well as information regarding Pastor Mark and his ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of Genesis, chapter 2. Our message today is called God's Foundation for Man and Woman.
No. It's a nasty setup because you're depending on them financially, and there's going to be two women in the house. And hey, if you ever had two women in the house trying to do the same kitchen, you have World War III on your hands. And so you need to separate. It's the first thing. He's identifying marriage. He's saying, guys, leave your mom and dad. And by the way, married men, let me simply say, God is defining our relationship with a woman in this context with a spouse. And here's the thing, guys. When you get married, you're starting a brand new family. Now, your primary family is not your mother and father, brothers and sisters. Your primary family is your wife and your kids, number one. Now, that doesn't mean that you break off. Hey, you respect them, you visit with them, you hang out with them, you affirm them. But if you have to choose between one or the other, listen, you have a family and your priority is your family. I run into some spouses sometimes. I sit down and talk with some wives, and they are in tears saying, I feel like his mother always comes before me. I feel like I'm in competition with his mother, and it's always his mother this and this. And I feel like he shares more with his mother than he does with me. And I feel like that, listen, God defined it already. You honor your mother, but you have a family, so you have your separate entity, your separate family, and as a husband, it's your responsibility to be independent from your parents, financially independent, residentially independent from them, emotionally independent as well. You better be able to stand up on your own. If you can't stand up on your own, don't get married yet. You're not ready for marriage because you need to lead your household. And separate. So a man needs a, he makes it really clear here. He said, for this reason, a man will leave his father and his mother, and then he will be united to his wife. And that has to deal with this whole concept of you are going from this being an individual that functions on your own to now you're going to being a unit that's functioning with someone else. That you're no longer making independent decisions. Now you're functioning as a unit. It is us, not I. Listen, if you're married right now, you have no business having two separate checking accounts. Well, that's her money. This is my money. That's her stuff. This is my stuff. Wait a second. Where'd that come into play? No, this is us, not his and mine and we and theirs. You're not two single people living in one place. You are a unit. It's ours. You make corporate decisions together. You flow together. You're one. It's not her stuff, my stuff, their stuff. No, you are one together. You're forming a household unit. You are separating yourself. In fact, the Bible says that you are so much one with that person that you're one with that person, body, soul, and spirit. There's a huge oneness that occurs there. And that's God's identity for that. Because this oneness is huge and important, because out of this oneness, then basically God says, and then they will become one flesh. And that has to do with physical oneness. That has to do with intimacy. And yeah, that's part of marriage, and that's a part of marriage that's a part of marriage that God has given to enjoy, to be a part of it. It's the intimacy part. It's the sexuality part. It's that part that God says this is good. Start having a lot of babies. That's a good thing. So he's saying separate, unite yourself, start forming families, start raising those children, throwing yourself into their lives, raising them with a vision of what it means to have a strong marriage, a household, raising children. That comes from you. Fathers, you begin to develop this family identity. You begin to prepare your children for marriage, even when they're young. Later on in Scripture talks a lot about the leadership of the father in the household. And it's God created Adam from the beginning. It's not about being superior. It's not about having more value before the eyes of God, but it is about function. And from the very beginning, God makes it clear that in Ephesians, he talks a lot about this. He says that the man is supposed to be the head of the household. And that doesn't mean a dictator. It means someone that takes responsibility and leadership for their household. Are you tracking with me? Because right after this, right after the fall of man, we see the very things that God is trying to instill in man falling apart. Listen to what happens right after this. So God created man to be able to take responsibility for his household, love his wife, be intimate with her, communicate with her, enjoy her sexually, have a communication that's happening there, have children, love on them, raise them, impart into the malehood and see the feminine side of their mother. And so they grow up healthy, protected, well-rounded, able when they're older to be able to make their choices and to be able to marry a spouse. And by the way, guys, let me just say this too. All throughout Scripture, I see it very clearly that it's usually the responsibility of the dad to help guide his children, even in the spouse that they choose and the marriage situation that they're looking for. In fact, in the Old Testament, the Jewish tradition, oftentimes there wasn't even a courtship. This modern thing that we call dating didn't even exist. It was kind of like, hey, there's a woman at a well. They always seem to be by the wells. I'm not sure why, but hey, there's a woman at a well. So guys, you're looking for a wife. I think you need to start hanging out some wells. Find a well around here. Like, hey, some of you have, where's the well? Nowadays, just can't find a good well here. But they'd go out, they'd find a woman. They would say, hey, you're good for my son. And they would choose them. They'd put them together. Sometimes these people would meet for the very first time at their wedding. There's the veil. Here's your wife. Now love her and marry her. And you say, well, I don't know about that, Pastor. I don't think I'd like that thing, because what if they chose wrong? Well, I'm not saying that we have to do it that way. Although I have made an agreement with my 8-year-old son, Grant. I made it when he was 6. We shook on it already. He said, Dad, how am I going to know who to marry when I grow up? I said, son, if you let me choose her, I think I'll do a great deal. You want to shake on it? He said, sure. So I got an agreement already that I'm choosing his wife, and I think I can choose one as good or better than he can. And I remind him about that, son. Remember, we shook on it. But I believe that it's our responsibility, even in our children, as we prepare and lead them towards marriage, to be able to choose right. I have a 15-year-old daughter. She's an awesome girl. I love her to death. I've loved her since she was a little girl. I've tried to instill confidence in her every night. I pray with her. I've taught her scripture. I've had the serious talks with her, cuddled her, affirmed her, loved her, trained her, disciplined her. And man, I am really serious that I am really watching out and feel like it's my total response, my full responsibility to guide her and to bless whatever guy eventually becomes her future spouse. That's my responsibility as her dad. She brings a guy home, and believe me, she's going to get the grill. Why? Because that's not a choice that I have input into her life. As a father, of course, she's going to make her choices, but I have input in her life to bless her. That's part of my responsibility. And what I'm saying here, what I want you to understand, is from the very beginning, God has placed great responsibility on the shoulders of men. From the very beginning. And I like what Robert Lewis says. Robert Lewis has written a lot about men and their roles, and he defines manhood, a vision for manhood, and he basically says that real manhood does 4 things. 1, it rejects passivity. 2, it accepts responsibility. 3, real men lead courageously. And 4, expect greater reward. And I want to talk about that a little bit, because I really believe that we look in chapter 3 of Genesis, and I think we have a little bit the unraveling of a lot of the things that God instilled in the heart of man from the beginning. Many of you know the whole story of the fall of man. So here we have man and woman. Now they're walking around paradise naked. They have no baggage. They talk to each other. God's among them. Walks in the garden. They have no shame. They have nothing to hide. They eat of the fruit. They name the animals. The lion's not eating the sheep. The sheep's not running from the tiger. You know, the cat's not chasing the mouse. It seems like at that time there were no carnivores at that time, even though there was much more of a vegetarian diet. So there wasn't this violence that was happening. They were in this paradise setting, and everything was really functioning well. Man had full responsibility for much of what God had placed him. God had created man. He said, I want you to take responsibility. This woman that's here, I want you to take responsibility. I want you to love her. I want you to lead her. And they were walking in some really powerful harmony. And you say, wow, that seems like a pretty cool place to live. Yeah, and that's what God designed us for. The world that we now live in is not God's design. The world that we now live in is a fallen world.
You have been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe in Chicago at our main campus, New Life Midway, with his message entitled, God's Foundation for Man and Woman. It's from his current series called Straight Talk for Men. Join us again on the next Straight Talk for the second half of this message. As I mentioned earlier, if you'd like to have a copy of this message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will find over 45 other series that can help you in your daily walk with God. If you'd prefer to have a CD of the message, contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. We also invite you to check out a New Life location near you this Sunday. We have 25 life-giving locations throughout the city of Chicago, and you can check us out at www.newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We'd love to meet you. And please tell them that you heard about New Life through the radio program. We hope that you've enjoyed this broadcast, and we thank you for joining us. Please do listen in to the next Straight Talk. On behalf of Pastor Mark, myself, and the Straight Talk team, we appreciate your listenership. Have a great evening, and God bless.